at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales Presents, a curated actual play of 5e Dungeons & Dragons game set in the world of Dungeon in a Box, the Caravan of Peril. The Caravan of Peril is so good and so chock full of adventure options that I was able to run the entire game with a second group of people, and now we present game one of the second group.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
Well, hello to all of you at the table, and welcome to Tavern Tales, a very special edition of Tavern Tales, the Dungeon in a Box campaign. Dungeon in a Box is a special module where you can subscribe to a monthly delivered to your door service, www.dungeoninabox.com. We are going to play through the PDF of the very first module, which comes out this February. It will come out directly to your door every month in a box with a little campaign module, and it'll have minis and maps and other things that you'll need in order to get through that module, all building over the course of a several month period into a larger campaign structure. Or you can just play them as one-off little sessions, and we're going to do this one here in a three-part session called The Caravan of Peril. I'm Kyle, I am the host and the dungeon master of the game. Who is sitting to my left?
Hi, I'm Paige.
And who will you be playing today, Paige?
I will be playing Vastrad. I am a human fighter.
I am Leo, and I will be playing a half-elf rogue named Yogg.
This is Melanie. I will be playing Thorin. I'm a druid male elf.
This is Marie Claire, and I will be playing a gnomish wizard named Dimple.
I'm Aaron. I will be playing a dragonborn barbarian, which goes by the name of Balasar.
And with that, let's sink into the world a bit of the Dungeon in a Box. The world is your typical standard Dungeons and Dragons fantastical setting, but more specifically, we're in a environs called the Greenwald, which is this vast expanse of natural wilderness, forests, deep forests, vast plains, and largely the vestiges of civilization that has gone before. In the middle of the Greenwald is this elderly, ancient, potentially dying city called Mariposa, or Mara to its inhabitants. The inhabitants of Mariposa are a tired group. The majority of these people in about a 30,000 person city are only there because Mariposa serves as this wonderful way station point along the banks of a great river between trade from the north and south of the Greenwald and the east and the west. So it is a great starting point for a caravan to make its leave on its journey to Greyhaven in the west. So we're in the Greenwald, more specifically we're in Mariposa, and we have this group of five individuals who've decided for one reason or another to make their leave of Mariposa, to move on, and what better way than to act as a guard in a caravan. But these characters all know each other in some capacity. Somehow they know each other. So we're going to take a bit of a turn for character creation and group cohesion and pull something from another game called Fiasco, where each of our players will take turns helping to establish a relationship, constructing a need within that relationship, and then we'll find something within these stories that they're telling to link everyone together. So who would like to start in defining a relationship between their character and another one?
I can start. So, Yogg, we actually have the same mother.
I approve. Brother.
They...
siblings from the same mother.
So we've got a half elf and a human who both have the same mom.
You do the math.
Oh, that works. Which one's older?
I am.
Explains why she went back to a human.
Okay, Leo, you can now determine more about that relationship and find a need there for these two siblings, or you can establish an initial relationship with Mel's character.
I'd like to go a little deeper with Vestrad. So, myself, I'm a bit of a charlatan. I like to rip off tourists coming through Mariposa. Little sis here, little bro. just a nickname for him.
Because he's a
would,
sissy.
That's right. So my little sissy bro would help me in ripping off the tourists. So we'd stand there and say, "Hey, you want to buy some of this snake oil?" They'd say, "Does it work?" And he'd say,
"Oh."
And then they'd buy it.
I feel like I'm too lawful for that.
Oh, okay. Yogg has need of a wingman, a need of support in their endeavors. So you may not assist Yogg in the full sales and support of being a charlatan and doing their tricks, but are you there for Yogg in what Yogg needs?
Yes.
Thank you for your support.
You're welcome.
It's emotional support, not financial support. I want you to both to think about that a bit more, because while siblings is a great bond already, and being supportive siblings is useful. Is there enough need that you'll find things throughout the game from that? That'll be your challenge, and I'll welcome you both to pipe in if you've come up with something that helps me reduce that to a kernel of import that we can then blossom into something.
Already, because he's trying to trick people and get, I feel like I'm always behind the scenes and I'm actually making it better without him knowing. And so if he speaks to someone and tries to trick them, I go back to them and kind of make it right, or I get them to pay what they're supposed to pay.
Fixing all the problems?
Yeah, I fix everything.
Okay, so that, again, part of the whole story. What's the kernel of that? All right, Mel, what would you like to do? Would you like to establish a relationship with Yogg or with Dimple?
I think I'll establish a relationship with Dimple. I was thinking along the lines of like frenemies.
Yeah. Okay. That
works. Accept?
Sure. That sounds good.
That might be more, it's not just an established relationship, like your friends.
Like competitive friends.
Oh, you're jumping right to that need already.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I guess that's too.
So, and that's fine if we've already got that there. I will ask for it to be further developed, though, as you go along. So your friends already. And,
yeah.
And friends is kind of just a generic term. What sort of friends are you? Are you friends from childhood, or are you old friends?
We used to be neighbors.
Neighbors. See, I like
neighbors.
That.
Neighbors. Yeah.
When you were kids?
Young adults.
We went to the same high school.
Ended up living next to each other.
And I was the rich one.
All right. Cool. Seems like it's coming along so far. And Marie Claire, would you like to establish a relationship with Balasar, or further define this relationship with a need for yourself and...
Yeah, I think I want to work on the neighbor one. And why we're competitive is because at some point in our high school friendship, we were super good friends. And then there was a misunderstanding that happened at some point. And like, I was not a good person in that moment, because the rich people never are in the stories. And there's a one-upmanship in that. I think you're trying to prove that you're better than me, even though I come from wealth and everything is easy. So it's like...
So I like worked for where I am?
Yeah, you like worked for it. I was just given it. And it's always been that way. So you're trying to like prove yourself to me in a way. And I'm just like, yeah, that's cool. But I think that if we can make it that I'm competitive with you because you've always had to work for it. So it's... meant more for you, whereas things don't mean as much to me.
Yeah, you feel like you can build something out of that. You're gonna actually enjoy going on an adventuring tour with Dimple, who had a misunderstanding.
We can adjust it. I mean,
and like now that's... and now looks down on you because you have to struggle so hard to do all the things that Dimple does so easily.
But I know it's really part of my cosmic plan in life.
Okay,
to have to deal with that.
I'm just saying, if you feel comfortable with internalizing that into something that is tangible, fundamental to the characters' relationships, I'm fine with that.
We were on the same mystical soccer team. Like, what do you want?
the mystic bros.
We played Astro Ball.
No, I mean, like, Dimple is a gnome, so she wasn't involved in sports. Except for mystical soccer, which is like Quidditch, but with balls.
It's a bit of a misnomer.
Yeah, it's a bit of a misnomer.
She's a gnome.
Oh.
Nice.
What I see is that I heard frenemies first, then we went back and the characters are neighbors. They've been neighbors since high school. These two characters used to be friends. Something happened. There was a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And Dimple seems to continue to misunderstand things going forward in how and why Thorin continues to act the way Thorin does.
And the need is to pair the relationship.
Yeah. Are these two people trying to reclaim a friendship they once had?
Yeah.
Or is there something deeper there that caused that riff to happen? So I am happy with former friends, and your need is somehow connected to that former friendship being either refound or something else being rekindled.
Unresolved need to figure it out. And like
have we talked about it?
Yeah, like we've never talked about the fact that we used to be like best friends and now we're not. And it's just always been kind of a sore point for both of us. And we have to like figure out how to have that conversation at some point.
And neither of you have really talked in a considerable amount of time, however that works for both of you.
Yeah.
There's more to work on there. I feel that there is definitely the structure of a interaction with the two characters. So, Aaron, what would you like to do?
I will establish a relationship with Dimples over there. So, as an outlander, I've grown up in the wild, but I took on a profession as a bounty hunter. And while going through and collecting bounties on people, I came across Dimple at a traveling circus who helped me collect on a bounty.
Coworkers.
I wouldn't have been at a circus.
It was a traveling circus. Do you not see where I'm going with this?
No.
Is she short?
No. Weren't we part of a traveling circus in our last podcast?
Yes, but...
And we met at said circus.
So you're saying that, like, I've helped you as in your job you hired me or I helped you?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Is that really a relationship, though?
Like, we've worked together.
Co-workers.
We're co-workers.
Okay. All right. I'm going to write colleagues.
Colleagues.
You included two different backgrounds in your little short story there.
I did?
Because there is already a bounty hunter background and you are an outlander. So I'm wondering...
Well, no, it's an outlander background, but the origin is bounty hunter.
How old is Balasar?
45.
So he's pretty old for a first level character, for one, and also rather old for a dragonborn.
Yeah.
There we go. Thanks. Good to know.
Good skin, though. You'd never guess.
He moisturizes. Coconut oil.
Coconut oil and tears.
Palm oil. It's harder on the environment than coconut oil. Yeah. Paige, we're back around to you. So one of the things that has come up in our first round that I really, really liked was the word mystical soccer.
Okay.
Everyone's character has to have some sort of connection to the Mariposa Mystical Soccer League in some way, shape, or form, whether as a player or a devout fan. And one of the individuals in Mariposa who is a patron and sponsor of the Mariposa Mystical Soccer Team, which is so far unnamed, so I will ask for names and naming options as we go along here. But the Mystical Soccer Team has a gnomish sponsor and I'll show you his picture. Here he is, our wonderful gnomish sponsor. So your connection, while we're going around, you now have a third choice. So again, you can establish relationships, you can establish a need, but you can also choose to establish how you're connected to Mystical Soccer and, in specificity, this patron of the Mystical Soccer Team. But you don't have to choose how you are connected to it. You could instead choose how somebody else at the table is connected to Mystical Soccer, as long as that person agrees with it. The sponsor's name is Findal Dinfizzle Findazzle.
What? Findal Dindazzle?
Findal Dinfizzle Findazzle. So again, Findal Dinfizzle.
Oh my lord.
Findazzle. Dazzle.
Fendel Dizzle Fizzle.
From Detroit.
Fendel Fizzle my name.
Fendel Din Fizzle Findazzle.
For show.
Fendel Din Fizzle Findazzle.
I'm just gonna call him Fendel.
Findal. F-I-N-D-A-L Findal.
Findal it is.
Perfect. So as we go around, three more rounds, you'll need to establish a relationship with Aaron's character. You'll need to establish a need with Aaron's character, and you'll need to have some connection to Findal and Mystical Soccer.
My connection to the Mystical Soccer, I am actually the head coach. I mean, with my soldier background, I like yelling at people, and I have a very high level of authority. And I like to control situations.
Excellent. As head coach of the Mystical Soccer team, the Mystical Soccer team, still unnamed, has not had the best of seasons.
It's because I'm not magical.
The season is over, and you have recently been fired.
That probably makes sense.
So I completely accept the I'm a head coach, but you are the former head coach.
Perfect.
Sorry to hear that, bro.
It's okay.
I'm a big fan of Fendel Din Fizzle Findazzle's Mystical Soccer games. So I oftentimes will hang out in front of them, scalp tickets. People got to get in. Those things are expensive. So, you know, I get a few on the side and I sling them how I can, as best I can. Y'all know how it is. So I'm often in front slinging tickets and dang old Findal Din Fizzle Din Findazzle. He's always hollering, get out of here. So I just got to run and sneak off and come back. He's not too sly a chap, so I can.
Are all of those tickets legit or are some of them not
legit? It's total 100% legit. 100% legit. I only deal in legitimate merchandise.
They're not legit.
They seem to be.
This went on for a while. However, Findal noticed that he was never able to get rid of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you became the actual salesman for the Mystical Soccer because you were always there and you were always selling tickets. You obviously have a love of the game because you're always selling the tickets. Your bro was the head coach one reason or another. So Yogg did become the actual ticket salesperson over time. Findal paid you a salary to do the ticket sales and you got a percentage over the top. Now, Findal told you that the tickets, season tickets, should go for about 10 gold for the whole season, and you were selling them for 25 gold. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, that's just good business.
That's just the market.
Exactly. And I'll even add into that that there were a couple of times where Yogg was pressed into wearing the mascot outfit for the Mystical Soccer team, still as of yet unnamed.
I did that because I wanted to do it. That's our family colors.
Which are what colors?
You probably wouldn't know about them where you're from, but it's kind of like blue.
Just one color.
What is the mascot?
You know what a dragon looks like, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's nothing like that.
Perfect. Okay. I like that.
Not a dragon.
Ticket sales from Yogg. Mel, you can choose somebody else. You still have a relationship you need to develop and establish with Yogg. We don't have a relationship there at all. There is also your connection to the Mystical Soccer element in Mariposa or somebody else's.
I was thinking that maybe Dimples over there hooked up with Findal Fizzle Dindazzle. They got together. That's her connection with him. And I am a protester of Mystical Soccer.
Oh, well, you got to choose one or the other.
Oh, right.
Other,
okay. Yeah. If you agree.
Great.
I was going to go for like, I own a box because I'm rich. No, that's fine. I'm a groupie. Sure.
Well, and more specifically that you've had an affair with Findal.
Findal. Yeah, sure.
He's considerably older than you.
You know, money.
You know money? Is that your like catchphrase?
No.
That's that Findazzle dazzle.
Dazzling. Well, right. I mean, and I want to color that a little bit by saying like, you know, we're both wizards. Maybe it was a mentee relationship, maybe, but probably not.
But there was definitely something physical there.
Yeah.
We'll accept and embrace that. So Marie Claire, what would you like to do? Given that Mel has just unilaterally determined what your relationship is with Findal. Yeah. Why don't you determine and describe exactly what Thorin's relationship was with Mystical Soccer?
Thorin is the equipment manager for... for Mystical Soccer, and there's like, you know, unfortunate jock straps involved. Unfortunate ones.
Do you accept that?
Do I have a fancy title?
Equipment manager?
Like manager of equipment?
If you would like manager to add an extra
of in there.
I prefer
manager of equipment.
Manager of equipment.
Wait, when I got canned, did he get...
Thorin got fired as well.
What?
Yep.
Cold as ice.
Oh no, did they find us in the equipment thing together?
Hang on, jock straps together.
It could happen.
Inappropriate use of equipment.
Yeah.
That's for you guys to determine within the context of the game. For right now, Thorin is the former manager of equipment Mystical Soccer team. I'm still waiting on a name for the team. I personally like the butterflies.
Very
because
fitting.
Of Mariposa?
Yeah.
Can I take a spin on that and say papillon? It's the French name for butterfly. Or the Schmetterlings.
Schmetterlings.
Flappers.
Yes. The German name
das
for butterfly.
Schmetterling.
Via Schmetterlings.
Das Schmetterlings.
Das Schmetterlings.
So it's not working. So we'll continue to workshop that. It's your turn, Aaron.
I guess I will establish my relationship to the butterflies. I was the cheer captain.
You're the cheer captain.
He's the choreographer.
There
He's
we
like
go.
So strong, like he.
I was one of the choreographers for the Mystical Butterfly Soccer Team.
Can the cheerleading squad be called the Fizzles?
Fizzle
sure.
Dazzles.
Yeah, that would be the former cheer captain.
You could throw people. You got like all that barbarian.
I threw
strength.
Them too far, and then they're like, "That's enough."
Too many people died last season.
Balasar is still the head Fizzle cheerleader and captain for the Mystical Soccer Team.
Great.
Paige.
So what about, I have two choices, one choice.
You have really one choice left because you haven't established a relationship with Balasar.
You said you're 45, right?
Yes. Oh, crap.
Balasar is actually our mother's closest friend.
Mm.
Oh, Uncle Balasar.
Uncle Bally.
Unky B.
Okay, I really like that. Yep. Do you agree and accept that you are a surrogate uncle to these two younger individuals?
Yes.
Good answer.
All right. Leo, what do you have left?
Mm. I was thinking he could be like a secret love child of my father's.
What? Everybody's related up in here.
Ooh. Why are elves always related to each other?
Because there's only like 9 of them. So they just
I feel like in every show or movie or game, elves are always related. I mean, look
Maybe
at Lord
like
of the Rings.
One of us knows, but the other doesn't.
All right. So what was that again? What was that relationship you proposed?
We have the same father. I know that you're my half brother.
Sibling.
But you don't know anything.
Oh, man. The one-way shroud secret. Okay.
Because my dad was married to his elf wife.
Because we're under the constructs here.
I'm full elf.
That, Leo, it is still your turn to propose. Yeah. Would you like to propose siblings?
I propose siblings. So the other half. So siblings via papa.
Mother.
Mama. Siblings via papa. Elf. Human.
Right, yeah.
I'm doing a whole lot of pointing for an audio podcast. But yeah. Great podcasting.
So basically, you're connected by blood to two of these characters here at the table, but Mel is going to propose that you don't know about that connection. So what is the need then, Mel, between yourself and Yogg?
And why the need for subterfuge?
I can't think of a need that you would have for me, but because I know I could really want like a strong bond between us. That might just not be there naturally. So I'm always trying to like connect with him.
I love it. Yeah. And I would love to put some element of protection in there too. Like you want to look out for Yogg and help Yogg in their identity development given what happened.
So how did we actually meet though? You know who I am. Are you just sneaking around figuring out who I am, or is that outside of the scope of this round? What do you think?
It's got to be through Mystical Soccer though that you
met.
You ran into each other and seen him at Mystical Soccer selling tickets. You guys never ran into each other, and then he's fired and you're like, I wish I had gotten to know this person. You talk
Yeah.
With him as he's on the way out the door.
Sorry,
and
you
then you're
canned,
like, what?
Man.
You're my brother.
And maybe I thought that was like my in to get to know you because I worked there, but then I was fired.
I really like pursuing your siblings. You know that you're siblings. Yogg doesn't know that you're siblings. And you want to better connect and help in some capacity. I feel that you will be able to work that into the game. And you can create this backstory, convoluted, howsoever it may be, with the Mariposa fizzles as we go along. Maybe the Mariposa mayhem.
And the fizzles are the cheerleading squad.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, we've got two left. Marie Claire. Currently, your relationship is colleague.
I know.
So it is very minimal in its structure.
We were hired by somebody mutually to team up together.
Done work together, done something together in the past. Did that go extremely well or extremely badly?
You saw my first failure as a wizard.
Yeah.
I will note, it was your colleagues.
Yeah.
So you're both equally responsible for whatever that failure was.
Somebody died.
You're making it worse for yourself.
Covered it up and we have to keep it a secret. You know how like, you know your true friends because they help you bury a body.
Yes. So a true friendship was created out of that misfortune and heartache.
Are you okay with that?
Love it.
Okay.
All right.
Fantastic.
Now, I will rely on the two of you to come up with some of the specifics of that unfortunate day. And you both have to work out some sort of subliminal, nonverbal signal to each other that says, I got your back in whatever problem may arise as you go along. There is but one relationship left that needs to be better defined now that Balasar is directly connected to Dimple and will probably be around Dimple at all times because they work so well together and they have this shared trauma. How is it that Dimple and Balasar and Lestrade. You know, you guys, I'm trying to find the page.
I'm changing my name to Frank.
But I got Yogg. Yogg made sense to me.
Yogg's easy.
Yogg's awesome.
Aaron and Paige, I understand that Balasar is Vestrad's pseudo-uncle. What is the need within that relationship?
Okay. Because I never had children of my own, and that I was a pseudo-uncle to Vestrad and Yogg, whatever Yogg may be, I guess my need would be to, I guess, sort of have the family and kids that I wanted but never got to have. So I raise them.
Try to be more dad-like than...
Yes.
...like.
How do you feel about that?
Well, can I add on to it?
What?
I think he was really good friends with our mom. And he stepped into that role because our mother died at a very young age. And so he stepped into that, like, that parent uncle. Like, we knew him as uncle, but really he stepped into that role because we were so young when she died. But he wanted to separate that he wasn't our father because obviously we have two different dads and not take that role. But he was, like, my only parent image. I had a dragon for
mother
a dad.
Mother Balasar.
And Unky B.
I'm going to add two little things to that. Balasar, you did have some eggs. They were taken from you.
Oh, because you're a dragon. Your past story. You had eggs.
With your former
however that transpired.
I don't know how dragonborns work.
He was never there for the hatching of the dragonborn children that wanted so badly to have. And I think, Balasar, when you find out about the triple connection here, that would probably be even more overjoying. But we'll allow that to come about in game. And Balasar and Dimple, the death that the two of you are so hurriedly trying to protect and cover happens to have been the mom of Yogg and Vestrad.
Oh, when that news comes out,
Yogg's gonna be bummed out.
Like days of our lives.
I will be sorely cross.
With my crossbow.
There is a clubhouse for the mystical soccer team for the Mayhem. It is on the south part of in Mariposa. And it is here in which we set our scene, where our five adventurers have all found their way to be there for one reason or another. One weekend afternoon, immediately following the last loss of the regular season, eliminating all hope of the Mariposa Mayhem from getting into the playoffs. You've been fired, Vistrad. You've been summarily executed from your position as manager of equipment.
They had to ask for my resignation.
There are no need for any more ticket sales.
Oh, man. Down economy strikes us all.
And Findal is a known patron of this establishment, where he always goes and orders a mayhem platter and a bottle of elven wine to drown his sorrows. And he's let each of you know that he'll be there, and he has something he wanted to talk to you about if you could make your way down that day at some point. So who would be the first to arrive at the clubhouse?
I don't have anything better to do. I'm gone. Give me a mayhem platter.
Excellent. What is one of the meat types you would find on the mayhem platter?
Roast beast.
What type of beast?
When we were growing up, we just called it beast, but I think it was some sort of yak.
And it does make you yak. But it is served in a delicious and tangy tandoori sauce, and it is something you just pick up shredded beef style into a flour tortilla as part of the mayhem platter. And Findal is well known for never, ever eating it. So you always know that dibs are yours when you hit the mayhem club.
That's them Findizzle dibs.
So he sees you arrive. If you could just describe your character for me.
I'm a half elf, pretty sharp dressed. It's important to me to be known as a snazzy dresser. You know, I'm up on the latest fashion trends, but I put my own little spin on things. So you might see me in a wild little scarf or a crazy feather in my hat or my hairdo done up like crazy half on one side and crazy half on the other side. You never know what you're going to get, but I always got real fly shoes on. You can count on that.
And are you wearing your armor?
Yes, safety first.
And do you have any weapons?
Aye. Got a wee rapier. I just keep in the back. It's like a tiny sword. Just a little pokey thing. Always got it on me. Safety first.
How does Yogg walk?
It's a bit of a swagger. Like, almost like a limp, but cooler.
A pimp limp?
I was going to say. It sounds like a pimp
limp. It's
over
a mild pimp limp.
Yogg walks in, sees Findal there, already has the platter, and Findal's working on a carrot stick. He waves you over and stands up onto his bar stool so he's the same height as you. Looks you in the eye and
wee guy,
and shakes your hand and says, Yogg, I just would like to say thank you so very much for all of your hard work this season and all of the ticket sales. I believe we've had one of our most lucrative years in Everfall. Please, Yogg, the yak is yours.
Oh, don't mind if I do. Thanks, Dan Finn's Dizzle Dad and Dizzle Findal. Dizzle. So I'm going to have me some yak.
You butcher his name. You plow into the yak. He goes, And at that moment, the next character walks through the door. Who is it that happens to arrive?
I walk through the door next because I'm usually not too far behind my sibling because I'm usually close enough to if he gets into trouble that
they,
I can.
Yep.
Damn it. If they get into trouble. Yeah.
Everybody gets one.
Uh-oh. I used mine really early on.
Great. Can you describe your character, please?
Vistrad is a very beautiful, tall, built man. He is very fair-skinned and he has these beautiful steel gray eyes, but has this amazing bright red long hair. And so like from far away, you'd almost think he was a very masculine woman. But then when you get up close, you realize that he's actually a man.
Mm. And what a man.
Oh, yeah.
What a mighty good man.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
What a man.
That's my little bro.
Yeah.
Excellent. Great. And is your character wearing armor?
Yes.
And what is your character wearing for weaponry?
I have a crossbow slung across my back when I need some long shots, and I have two little rapiers on either side that I pull out in.
A pair of rapiers. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm prepared.
Safety first.
Findal waves you over and says, tough loss. Tough loss. I thought that your plays in the second half were brilliant, just for the wrong team. But nonetheless, I commend you for all of the efforts that you undertook, and I look forward to seeing what you do with them over the off-season and into next year.
Thank you, sir.
And I walk away. because I'm a very polite person, and I've always learned that if you don't have anything nice to say, just walk away.
It was very clear to you that Findal does not seem to be aware of your summary termination from the role of head coach.
Okay.
But you only realize that as you're standing at the bar ordering what? What do you order at the bar?
Oh, for a drink?
Yeah, what's your consolation order?
Oh, I'm a human. It can't be anything that weird.
Yes, it can.
Not with that attitude.
I mean, I just want you to know, this is Dungeons and Dragons.
That's true. It's basically a glass of vodka with blended beetles, and it's called Vokbeet.
Vokbeet? Yeah, okay.
A lot of protein.
Just like mom
Gotta
used
keep
to
my
make.
Muscles. Exactly.
You are well known for this drink.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't even have to order it. They keep a specific blend of pureed beetle on hand to mix your drink for you.
No, they have to blend it fresh.
Yeah, no, but they keep that blend on hand.
Yeah.
Just for you. Vodbeet.
I mean, it's no weirder than Clamato. Let's
check out the Kickstarter coming this summer.
Clamato and vodka. It's basically just that.
Same thing.
But
so
bugs.
While Vestrad is lounging at the bar, Findal is trying to regale one of the other patrons of one of the amazing plays that was done by the other team. And in walks through Dimple. Dimple, are you actually currently residing in the clubhouse in an upstairs room? Or are you coming in from outdoors?
I'll have come in from outdoors, but I will skip merrily across the room and plant two big kisses on either side of Findal's cheeks and say, boo!
What does your character look like?
She is short, so about 3'6". She has long black hair, which is neatly half up, half down, stylishly. And has nice blue eyes and is fairly attractive for a gnome.
What is she wearing?
She's wearing fine silks. It's like a dress slash robe with a very warm, comfortable cloak. And she has around her wrist a expensive bracelet with a large crystal attached to it.
And Findal is, of course, standing on a stool, extrapolating, working through a play that happened in Mystical Soccer. That the mayhem caused, it was actually the cause of their utter defeat this day. And he has a blithe comment about how Coach Vestrad just couldn't figure out the other team's playbook in time. But given time next season, of course, Vestrad will be perfect to coordinate this wonderful team and wonderful approach. He espies you, hops down, and accepts the kiss on both cheeks, and when you say boo, he gives a feigned ah, which it seems to have been a rehearsed thing between the two of you. Did you see the game? He says.
Yes. I'm very sorry about the loss.
Oh, no. I'm a fan of the sport first and foremost.
Of course. But
so glad you're here.
Did you
want some yak?
Sure.
Oh, I'm so very sorry. Yogg has eaten all of the yak.
There's not much left.
I'll just take a drink.
Excellent. You work your way over to the bar and order yourself a
fizzle blaster.
You would.
Like, what's a fizzle blaster?
It's the specialty drink of the team.
Sure. It is.
It's the one that's sponsored.
Like the Dimple team?
It's a carbonated peach beverage that has about 80 proof vodka.
With a strawberry chaser.
You need some beetles in it.
Yep, you are standing right next to Vestrad.
Why, hello.
I'm still missing two other individuals. Who arrives next?
I'll arrive next.
Excellent.
I'm around 5'5". I've kind of like wavy long hair that's pulled up into a man bun, and I'm wearing leather armor.
Does the leather armor have any stitching or embossing on it?
No, it's quite simple.
Just plain homespun. Is it dyed any particular color, or is it just a natural shade?
It's like a browny black kind of color. It's natural. The stitching is quite thick.
Okay.
Quite beautiful.
What are you wearing for weapons?
Oh, my weapons are a short sword and a dart. I keep them in my leather armor belt.
You probably have more than one dart.
Yes,
guess
darts.
You probably have a dozen or so. What's the fletching on your darts look like?
They are purple and yellow.
Purple and yellow?
Yeah.
And are they natural from the feather of a bird or?
Well, they are natural, but they're dyed different colors.
Oh, okay.
I've done it to specify which ones are sharper.
Ooh,
Practical.
Other ones require further sharpening.
Great. Or I leave them resting for their harm.
You see the rest of the group that is already here. There are several other patrons. You've entered this place.
I walk up to Yogg or Frank. Not sure what he likes to be called these days.
Yogg.
But I walk up to him and start shooting the shit. Hey, how's it going? Haven't seen you in a while.
Hey, I ate all the yak.
You look down. That's the fine. Platter has a number of other meats and delicious edibles on it, but sadly no braised and shredded yak.
I was quite hungry, but that's fine.
Now you're not.
I'll have to buy something somewhere else.
Excellent. You do have a boring and innocuous conversation, yeah. Which we don't need to further delineate.
Witty banter.
The final individual of our party enters the room.
6'4", 275 pounds.
Wow.
I've got a silver tuft of hair on top. I don't have any weapons with me. I'm actually carrying the two pom-poms because I was just outside for cheerleading practice. Wearing the tracksuit of the team. It's black with red stripes on the sides and of the legs.
And what are you?
I am a dragonborn.
What color of dragonborn are you?
I'm copper.
Excellent. You're a copper dragonborn in the mayhem colored cheerleader team colors. What do you do when you enter the bar?
I throw the pom-poms on the ground in disgust over the terrible cheer practice that we had. And I walk right over to the bar and order it an ale.
Excellent. You get an ale, down it with gusto, and Findal beckons to the majority of you, as he has an established relationship with everyone in this room, to a lesser extent with Balasor, it seems. So he gets the four of you, though, in your connection to the team, and he says to Vestrad, to Yogg, to Thorin and to Dimple, he says, "Well, the season is done, and I'm afraid on the morrow I must make my leave. I am joining a caravan. I'm heading to Greyhaven with matters of much urgent need and importance. The caravan master has informed me that she is looking for guards to guard the caravan. Hearing of your recent departure from the team, and knowing that you all might be in need of employment, and potentially clearer skies than those provided by the gray skies of Mariposa, would you like me to potentially put in a good word for you as a guard in the forthcoming caravan?"
"I'd be honored, sir."
"I'm down."
"Yeah, okay."
"Our first getaway?"
His eyes go wide. He looks about and says, "Fuck." He finishes his glass of elven wine. It was half full when he started that sip, which turned into a great deal more than a sip. And then he mutters something along the lines of, like, "Excuse me," and tries to extricate himself from Dimple's affections. And then he informs the three of you that he will, of course, go and meet with the caravan master, who, if you have time today, perhaps, given that the caravan is leaving tomorrow, might she be able to interview you today?
"Post haste."
"Is it on camera? You said interview."
"No." He has not caught your eye or any of your attention or made any motion or word to Balasor. Balasar?
Sar.
Bulbasaur.
I was going to say, I could just change my name to Bulbasaur and it'll be easier for everybody.
Bulba.
To Balasar.
Dinosaur noise.
He's not made any...
"I'm a dragon."
"Rawr."
"Where are my eggs?"
He hasn't made any comment to you. You're still over there by the bar. He extricates himself from a potential difficult conversation with Dimple to go and fetch the caravan master, who he indicates to you is named Laura. He leaves the Mayhem Club and dashes off. Within an hour, a dwarf enters the club. There are very few patrons left. It was a loss. The team never even showed up to the club, which is remarkable considering this was the very last game of the season at home. You'd think that they would have at least come out and shown support to their fans. But that's the sort of shitty attitude that's been cultivated by head coach Vestrad all season. Nonetheless, former head coach Vestrad is there, making things awkward for any fan who is now aware of Vestrad's termination.
You did your best, bro.
Thank you.
In walks a dwarven female. She has fizzy red hair, really quite long, that is tied back by a frayed and old leather thong with a wooden dowel shot through it. She has bright green eyes and a swath of freckles across her nose and cheeks. She looks to have a very pleased smile on her face and is dressed in adventuring gear, leather armor, and has a stout axe at her side. And she spies the four of you and immediately moves over.
How do you do, Laura?
Right then. It's a pleasure and a quick to make your acquaintance. My name is Laura Hanna.
Howdy, Laura.
And your names are?
My name is Vestrad.
Vestrad, you say?
I'm Thorin. You're here to interview us. Why don't you ask some questions?
That's very direct to you. All right, then. Let's get started, shall we?
She sits down and she says,
So, I am leaving tomorrow on a caravan. I've got 8 wagons, including the one belonging to Findizzle, Dinfizzle, Findazzle. He's recommended all of you to serve as guards. So what sort of qualifications do all of you say you have?
Well, sir, I was an officer in the war. I was a first rank officer in the war.
Oh. She pulls out a notebook and a quill. She dabs the quill to her tongue. A blossom of ink happens there. And then she begins to write. She writes your name, Vestrad, and she writes poor accent on the page. And then something about a war.
First officer.
Sorry, ma'am. She gets pretty choked up when she talks about the war.
Gee.
Right. You get one.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a lot of crazy characters you'll find around this town. Miscreants, devilish chaps and such. But if you were looking for folks who are stealthy, persuasive, and can lead your crew, what'd you say, 8 wagons there? 8 wagons is where you're trying to go. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better crew than the one you got right here. Isn't that right, Thorin?
Well, yeah, I'd have to agree with you, Yogg.
That's right. I'm Yogg.
And what are your qualifications?
Well, we're quick, we're sneaky, we're deceptive. He was in a war.
I was an officer.
In the war. And, old Thorin over there, I don't even know where to start.
I'm not much for physical, brutish strength.
Yeah, he's not real chatty.
But, I mean, I'm pretty smart. I'm perceptive. I can tell if someone's lying to me.
Excellent. Well, I believe intelligence and the ability to see are both extremely important things that a caravan guard should have. I am, though, looking for more than just the 3 of you.
Mm. Oh, may I come as well, please?
Sorry, you'd like to be enlisted as a guard?
Well, Findal's going, right?
Well, his wagon is accompanying us.
Well, then, of course. And I am a amazing magic user. I am a wizard, and I use prestidigitation to shoot sparks out from my fingers, but it ends up looking a little jazz handsy.
Okay.
And there's sparks that then fly up in the air and disappear, and they happen to be, you know, a nice blue color.
The family color.
Yes. Well, you know, mayhem color.
Well, that makes right? 4. Mm.
You could maybe ask our uncle.
He's just standing there weirdly.
Oh, Unky B.
I
what do you think, Unky B?
So the
I whistle.
The dwarf looks around like the whole place. And of course does not immediately attribute a dragonborn as the uncle of humans and half elves and whatnot. So she looks back and gives you all a very quizzical look when Balasar makes apparently no effort or intention to do anything, just stays there.
Well, they haven't pointed me out or anything.
I was whistling to you.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Your name was shouted.
Unky B!
And then Unky B was called, so it's up to you.
I'll give him a good whistle.
Man, that Yogg's got a deep voice.
I say, what was that lovely sound? Was something, someone blowing into a jug, I hear? Why, if it isn't my nephew and miscellaneous.
I think you're miscellaneous.
Ah, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Now, fair question. What would be the proper term?
For what?
There isn't one yet. No.
That's why he said miscellaneous.
It was well thought out.
Remember when we were young, he'd say, oh, miscellaneous and et cetera. And we'd say, oh.
It is just the cutest. Yes. So I will walk over to them.
You must be a really young half-elf. Like, yeah.
Yep.
What everyone missed there was Leo showing age by moving his hands up and down, looking confused himself for his own actions, and then just saying, yep.
You're like basically a teenager, sort of. Like.
Yeah, I think Yaga's definitely been played out as a teenager.
Yeah.
All right. Balasar comes over and joins the group. There is very little left of the mayhem platter at this point. A round of drinks is served by one of the mayhem waitresses.
Are the fizzles also the waitresses?
Maybe one or two. Okay. They wouldn't be working today. Balasar joins over and Laura says,
excellent. Well, I have some questions for each of you, if you don't mind. A few normal things I like to transact as I put together the guards necessary for a caravan making such a lengthy journey all the way to Greyhaven. I've already talked to you both, or to three, about what you feel are important qualifications a caravan guard must have. But to you I pose the same question. What is the most important qualification in a caravan guard?
I would have to say two sharp axes in each of my hands to defend the caravan at all costs would be most important.
So defense.
Yes.
And your demonstration of how one defends is, of course, by showing that me that you have two sharp axes.
It's quite self-explanatory.
All right. So what drives you to be an adventurer?
I was looking for a family when I was a young lad, but as you can see, the years have not been quite so kind to me, searching for someone.
And have you done much traveling?
Yes.
What drives you to be an adventurer?
Well, I have a good friend. In Balasar is a true friend, and I look forward to traveling with him wherever he goes. We make such a good team. And also, I'll gladly try this trip thing out.
The questions are very similar. There is a lengthy list that Laura has regarding qualifications that you might have, both as what you think is the most important qualification a caravan guard needs to have, and how do you feel you demonstrate that? What drives you to be an adventurer? Have you done much traveling? And where do you see yourself in 5 years? And how important to you is wagon safety as a caravan guard? Not very important, somewhat important, a little important, very important, or the most important? And she goes through this and spends about 45 minutes total of your time going through all of these questions. They're not difficult questions, but it does seem like she spends an inordinate amount of time properly interviewing the five people she wants for the five openings she has. When she leaves, Findal doesn't return. He must have things he needs to do. And she lets you know that at noon tomorrow, she will be gathering up the wagons that are coming on the journey, and you're to meet outside the southern gate of Mariposa. That leaves you all the remainder of the day and the evening to conclude and wrap up all of your business and needs in the city. Is there anything you wished to collect, purchase, or run away from over the course of that evening?
I'm a magic user. I don't own a camping gear or anything like that. I would like to purchase some of that because I'm like, what do I need? I need to have a bedroll. I need to you know, have a place to sleep because I have nothing like that. So I'm going to go and buy an explorer's pack. It doesn't come with a tent, so I'm going to purchase a tent if I'm able to.
Sure.
Ooh, yes, it is a, yes. It is a two-person tent, you know.
Or a four-gnome tent.
I'm winking.
Wink. I think something's in her, in his eye.
Her?
In her eye.
You get one. No. I'm actually a girl.
So with that...
I didn't write yours down.
I will assume that the rest of you all want to buy the rations and whatnot come with the travel. Furthermore, as part of the interview... You were told that you would get paid 25 gold pieces for the safe delivery of the 8 wagons in Greyhaven, whenever you so happen to get there, and that your board and food would be provided for you along the journey.
Did I need the tent?
Yes.
Okay.
Might as well have your own tent.
I have my own tent.
So is anybody else getting any other... thing that they may want to have in advance of your undertaking?
Yeah, I better get some of that too, because I don't have any of that mess.
I'm sure as a rogue you've got an explorer's kit or whatnot. If you would like to have, you may add that to your sheet.
Deal.
Anything else?
I actually leave for a little bit, and while I was in the army, I made a close friend upon the ranks, and I go and say goodbye. I'm winking to said friend.
Close friend in the army.
Mm-hmm.
Real close.
And their name was?
Dugard.
Dugard?
Mm-hmm.
Wild, passionate knight with Dugard?
Yes. We get very close.
All right. Good to know.
I would also like to buy a quarterstaff.
Yes, you may buy a quarterstaff. You find a very fancy quarterstaff.
It's very pretty.
Yes. How much gold do you have?
I have 13 gold.
It costs you 13 gold.
All of it?
Yep.
All right.
Dimple likes the nice things in life, right?
Yes.
Then this quarterstaff feels nice in your hands. 13 gold quarterstaff. It is shod and has sigils etched into it from some...
Oh, I have long leather gloves that, you know, are just like my riding gloves or whatever. Sure. That I'm going to... As part of my fancy clothes.
Wow. All right, anybody else? Before Dimple buys everything known to man.
Mm-hmm.
Yogg is covered.
In clothes?
Also or in sunscreen? Clothes. Yogg is covered head to toe in supplies, figuratively and literally.
Excellent.
I'm a simple man. I don't need anything.
Okay. Thorin's got his armor and his weapons.
And his solitude.
And can hunt anything else Thorin may need. Balasar.
I'm good. Got my two axes.
You have a restful sleep or unrestful at your discretion?
Yeah.
Yep. Dugard.
Not much sleep happening over there.
Dugard misses you.
Did Findel break up with me?
You're not aware. Findel's breaking up with you or not. Dugard lets you know, though, with a sad look on his face the next morning as you're packing up and having breakfast, that he has been tapped as the next head coach of the Mariposa Mayhem. That is the whole cry, yeah. Right there.
I just leave.
Vistrad's like really good at going through the emotional states. He's standing there holding a frying pan full of eggs, not knowing what to do with himself. And we set our scene as you leave the confines of Mariposa, leaving through the large stone gate of the south. There is a group of 8 wagons. The caravan master wagon at the front is an open wagon. All of them are pulled by 2 sturdy draft horses. And the caravan master's wagon has a bunch of supplies and needs for a caravan. Axles for carts, extra wood, big salt barrel, a bunch of water barrels and emergency supplies, as well as a couple of coops of chickens and whatnot, which will probably be served within the first couple of days of travel. And there are 7 other wagons, the last of which brightly and garishly colored with multiple different hues, purples, yellows, greens, in an eye-glaring fashion. And driving that caravan seems to be some sort of unseen servant holding the reins of the 2 draft horses. But Findal himself, as this is in fact his wagon, does not seem to be in evidence.
I wonder where he is.
Laura greets you and The other owners of the wagons climb behind their respective horses and into the seats. Laura climbs up behind hers. You all may situate yourselves as Laura then cries out with a yip and a fierce dwarven exclamation. Does anybody speak dwarven?
Yes.
So what does she say in dwarven?
Move along, you bastards.
Exactly. And of course it comes out in dwarven, so no one's too sure what it is, but it definitely sounds like a get on up. And all of the wagons, the reins crackle, the horses, the draft horses begin to take their trudging steps forwards, the wheels creak as they rotate upon the axle, and the wagons move out. The day starts out rather gray and overcast, but quickly turns into brilliant, beautiful, clear blue skies. Where is everyone in the caravan?
Riding on Fendel's caravan.
Next to the unseen servant.
Yep. I'll be like perusing my spell.
Great job of perception. Yep. Where is Thorin?
I'm just meditating in my solo cabin of the caravan.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't have a solo cabin.
I've made a curtain.
A curtain?
Around myself so I could be alone.
So you put a bag over your head while you're walking.
Essentially, yeah.
Or Thorin has erected some sort of thin metal wire system to allow for those curtains to hang around. There is no cabin or caravan wagon location for your character to hang out and hide all by yourself. You're a caravan guard, and the expectation is you will be aware and looking for danger upon the open road.
I figured someone would let me know if there was a problem.
Thorin has tried very desperately to find a seat in amongst the other six wagons. There does not seem to be a spot set aside for Thorin. And Laura's wagon, the front wagon, seems to be very, very full of needed supplies. But there is a seat next to Laura in the front wagon.
I guess I'll sit there.
Laura gives you a strange look when you hop up and take a seat, but does not say anything for the first couple of hours. Where is Vestrad?
I ride along beside the wagons.
Riding what?
My legs.
You're like, yeah, left leg. Yeah, right leg.
Bro always had strong gams.
I need to keep them exercised.
And now we shall strut, canter, canter, canter.
Trot, and, trot,
and
trot.
And now the lunges.
And I hippity hop and hippity hop.
Well, you are definitely entertaining yourself and the wagon next to you as you exercise, stretch, and limber up.
And high kick, high kick.
Yes. It's very entertaining and takes a lot of your focus and attention to maintain this grueling sort of pacing. Where is Balasar?
I am sitting with my legs hanging over the back. I'm on the last wagon in the caravan, searching for any danger that could be coming from behind.
That's Findal's wagon. Okay. You're hanging out, sitting there. You're causing the whole wagon to lean, unfortunately, given your exceptional weight. It's not meant to just be there and unbalance the wagon.
Which way do I feel it tilting?
Well, it's lifting up as your weight is causing the front two wheels to start to lift up in the air. But you figure that it would fix it and climb and find a better position to sit. And you survey the rear surroundings and you watch Mariposa fade off into the distance with potentially a bit of a heartfelt sadness, as this has been the first home for a family you've ever had. Behind you is your actual family. And where is Yogg?
Yogg has run up a couple hundred meters in front of the caravan. Let's check things out in front. Give a little buffer zone in case something's noticed. As while y'all are back there lounging, doing work.
I'm not lounging, I'm kicking.
That much is clear.
He's not lounging, he's lunging.
How long does the unseen servant last?
Hours and hours and hours.
Okay. So it's not like a normal unseen servant. It's like something special and magical. After like the first hour, I'm like, huh, what's up with you? And I just start like investigating.
Does Dimple have Unseen Servant?
No, I do not. Ah. But it is something like you know about, right?
Yep. The caravan proceeds with no mishap throughout the day. Yogg, you espy on the right as you're traveling in towards the evening. As the sun is starting to get a little lower in the sky, you espy a clear, empty clearing. A clear, empty clearing. That's mm-hmm. really descriptive, Kyle. It looks like the grass has been trodden down as though many other caravans have stopped here, as this is about a half a day's journey to Mariposa and a half a day's journey from Mariposa. Many wagon caravans have spent the night here. Laura is very quick at getting all of the 8 wagons circled up for the evening, and then she looks at a supply of tinder and fuel in her hand and has a sad expression on her face and says, "Well, I guess I'll start to look at getting this fire set." She kind of throws a look to the rest of the guards and individuals there. Anybody can make an insight check if they are around and witnessing. So if anybody got higher than 16,
yeah.
So we have Dimple and Balasar have beat a 16. You definitely feel that Laura is uncertain in the production of making a fire for the evening, as though she's not ill-used to this sort of activity.
Dimple tugs gently on Balasar's legging. And if you're wearing, what are you wearing on your bottom?
Just traveler's clothing.
Traveler on your pant leg. And
on my Spanx.
Wait, are you still in your cheerleader garb?
No, I changed out of that before we left.
That'd be so funny.
And looks up and says, "Balasar, I know how skilled you are with making all of the fires, all of them. Could you assist this lady, please? My dear."
I suppose I shouldn't let her struggle like she is trying to make the fire.
You do make the best fires. They're always the warmest.
Fire is generally hot. It is its nature. I will go assist Laura with making the fire.
Dimple does this with her hands, just brushes them off and says, "Work here is done."
You move over to assist Laura, and she initially waves you off, but you're quick to show that you're ready and know your way around a fire because you've stood the skill survival, right?
Yes.
Give me a d20 check. I'm not looking for much.
19.
That is great. Well beyond the 5 difficulty that was required to know how to light a fire, especially with Laura's help. She tries to wave you off, but she does look thankful for the assistance in setting up and making a large bonfire. You end up helping make dinner too, because Laura doesn't seem to be too clear on what goes when and where for the making of dinner. But she seemed extremely skilled at giving caravan guard interviews. Findal does not leave his wagon.
I'm going to knock on the door.
It is not answered by any sound within.
I'm going to walk away very sad.
Now you need to establish a watch for the evening. You are the guards. You'll need to guard this caravan from trouble and tribulations over the course of the night. It would be a good idea to establish a recurring watch and figure out who is in charge at any given time and who needs to be awake.
I can see in the dark, so if you need me to be awake during a darker period of time.
Yep, same here.
I have dark vision too.
I don't.
You get the first shift?
I have the human eyes.
I'll take the second watch.
So Thorin, you see in the dark too, huh? Pretty cool.
Yeah. Weird that we have that in common.
Weird indeed. Anyway.
I think we should have 2 people on at a time.
I agree, in case of sleep.
Will that make it difficult? There is only 5 of you.
2 and then 2 and then 2. The one person from the first, and then the first goes to the third. No?
No, I get what you're saying.
Suddenly got really complicated. And no one is getting much sleep under this particular...
Not the first guy, that's for sure.
I just need 4 hours of meditation. I don't actually need the full 8 hours.
So you be on the first and then the third.
I could do that.
So I'm going to walk around the camp and... cast Alarm. So I'm holding my crystal charm bracelet in my hand, just pop it into my hand, and I start to cast.
Can you actually make Alarm cover that big an area?
It's 30 feet.
All right, you can cover a quadrant or a section,
yeah,
but not the whole thing. But that's fine.
But I'll cover like the where the wagons primarily are, so it's like the goods are safe.
Yeah, I'll give you inspiration.
Okay.
For being so inspiring.
Okay.
In regards to being diligent like that, and with your watches set somehow.
Yeah, we have the one and the two, the three.
I'll be four.
I thought it was the one and the three and the two and the four.
I am the one and Thorin is the one and then you're the two and then Uncle is the two and then Dimple is the three and Thorin is the three.
So Uncle B's the 2-2.
Then you're the 2-2.
So 2-2-2s.
We all get, yes. Okay.
Yeah. 100%. We're
good. The chicken is a little burned. The root vegetables that are also provided, and there's some leafy greens, are not particularly well put together. But dinner is had. The wagons settle down for an evening, and it is quiet and peaceful. And you feel well and truly like you're on the start of an adventure. The sun dawns the next day, brilliant, bright, and full of hope. There is nary a cloud in the sky as you begin to wend and weave down the southern road from Mariposa towards Greyhaven. Who's out front?
I will be out front. I have the muscle.
I'll go with you, bro.
I'm going to be on Fendal's wagon again, but I'm actually going to sit on top of the roof if I'm able to get my...
The word you're looking for is lap.
No, he's not there.
Once again,
he dumps
in the
me.
Morning, Findal does not appear. The wagon, an unseen servant or two, hitches the draft horses to the wagon and picks up the reins and leads the wagon as the last wagon in the caravan.
I'm going to sit on the top of it so I can see out and have a better like vision to shoot spells.
I got the sense that Laura didn't want me to sit with her, so I'm going to trail behind and just make sure nobody comes from the rear to get us.
I will be in the fourth wagon, properly balancing it this time.
You'll be in the fourth wagon?
Yeah.
Or near it.
I'll be near it, sorry.
And walking around and keeping an eye on the side of the road.
Yep.
Okay. For the people in the front, can I get a perception check for the one riding the very top of the wagon in the back?
Mm-hmm.
I would like a perception check. Normally you'd have disadvantage from being back there, but your color of being up high, I'll give you normal check. You can also make a normal check. And you would have disadvantage for this.
20.
So with that, I'm just looking for anyone who's gotten over 12.
Yog.
I.
So everyone except for Dimple?
Yep.
So Dimple is looking the wrong way at the time. You're entering a deeper section of wood. And as you're getting close, you see a long strand of wispy gray material hangs from one tree on one side of the path across to the bottom trunk and an exposed root of a tree on the other side of the path.
That doesn't look good.
Sibling, I think we should investigate.
Agreed. Let's go check it out.
Do I notice that they're moving?
The wagons are still moving forward.
Okay.
You haven't noticed anything in that regards.
But I haven't noticed them moving off to
well,
the side.
Well, they're not moving off to the side. Okay. It is in front of the wagons on the path ahead.
Okay.
There is a strand of gray material hanging from the boughs of one tree towards the root structure of another tree on the other side. As you approach, can I get a nature check from those of you who are walking forward? Did you not see this, dude?
I did see it, actually.
So are you going to move forward?
Or? Yeah, I'll move forward.
Okay, so what's everybody's nature checks?
20.
I got 9.
14.
18.
Great. You're not proficient in nature?
No.
Oh, you didn't take that one. Okay. Crazy druid doesn't care about nature. The three of you who are the closest at this point realize that this is some sort of giant, sticky spider webbing. Mm. And as you peer into the gloom of the thick, dense woods ahead of you, you can see more of these strands crossing trees and the path ahead of you. They will be a very large detriment to the speed and progress of the caravan.
Are we able to go around it?
Absolutely not. The forest is too dense, and as you look right and left, you see more of these sticky webs hanging from limbs of trees further in, and there is no way for the caravan wagons to get through or around these webs.
I don't like the situation at all.
No way.
We had to fight the spiders in the war, and I'm still so scared of the spiders, and I don't know if I can continue on this adventure. I don't like this. This is my one fear.
I think you need to suck it up. You agreed to be a guard.
Pull it together, bro.
You don't know what the war is like.
So is the caravan stopped?
The caravan is still proceeding forward and has not been directed to stop.
Yo, Vestrad, let's go tell Laura. We need to stop this train.
I agree.
So I'm going to go up and tell Laura what we found, that we need to stop and consider our options.
All right. She calls for a halt. She says, how long shall it take you to resolve the matter?
Give us 5 and we'll report back.
I think we should burn the forest down and get rid of all the spiders. One fell swoop.
I gotta say, I think that's a little extreme.
But the spiders, they're our worst enemy. I fought them in the war.
Perhaps one of us has a weapon or a spell we could cast.
I'm gonna message my old neighbor.
What kind of witchcraft do you have?
And ask Thorin, like via message, which is right to right to his brain.
Yep. And send just a magical worded whisper.
Thorin, why have we stopped?
There appear to be spider webs in our way. Do you have any suggestions on what to do?
One moment, I'll be right there. And I gnomishly climb down from Fendel's wagon. It takes longer. I'm short.
And then I scamper
up to the front of the wagon train, and I attempt to see the spider webs.
You see them? All 5 of you are now gathered in front of the wagons, scratching your head or other parts of you.
You're a quite a naturey person, aren't you? You like to camp?
Yep. You know, I considered making a storm up here, but I didn't think that would work.
I could set some of them ablaze, I believe.
I think the idea of setting the forest on fire, while a bit extreme, has solid merits. Let's see what we can do with some fire here.
Okay. All right, so I can cast Firebolt on inanimate objects, too.
But we have a dragon bone.
Yeah, what color are you again?
Copper.
Oh. Is that fire? No, okay.
Oh, but you're a dragon.
You've gotten...
I was trying to think of the IKEA guy.
Wunderbar.
So am I able to attempt to cast Firebolt on like a bit of the web to clear the path?
Absolutely. You do a whole bunch of damage, but the spider web like burns up quickly because it definitely is vulnerable to fire. But your Firebolt only nicked it and it only does so much. So about 10 feet worth of webbing burns, but not sufficiently to free that area for clear passage for a wagon.
So it's a cantrip, so I can cast it again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, try again. So I'm like standing there and I'm holding my charm bracelet with this, you know, rather large crystal, and I'm casting these fire incantations, and fire is coming in a bolt out of my hands.
What is everyone else doing while Dimple ineffectively...
13!
That's more than... You still hit.
I'm watching in awe to see how this is going to pan out.
So yeah, you succeed in finally destroying the webs that are directly in front of the wagon on the path. However, you can see the webs continue for a couple of 100 feet further into the forest.
Hmm.
This continues on quite a distance. I'm not sure if I'll be able to burn them all down.
Wondering if perhaps I can sneak through and cut some of them while it may be more time-consuming than burning them.
Well, you're using rapiers?
Rapiers. I also have daggers.
Both of those are piercing weapons. They're stabbing
not
weapons,
so slicey,
not sawing through things weapons.
What about a thorn whip?
What type of damage does thorn whip do? If it's piercing or bludgeoning, it's not going to be very effective against a spider web. You would definitely need a slashing sort of weapon from like a hand axe or a long sword.
I know a guy.
What about acid damage?
Yes, it would do regular damage. Not as good as fire damage. But again, you'd need to clear several hundred feet of webs.
Because I could use my draconic ancestry. Does a 5-foot by 30-foot line.
Yep, that would clear 30 feet and that line, but you still have another 170 feet to go, give or take.
How long would it take with the hand axes to just kind of
Well, it would take attacks to chop and hack and slash your way through. But there is no other way around it.
What do you got, nature guy? Anything we can do with the trees?
Can I move the trees aside? Make them grow taller, maybe?
They're ants.
Can you roll a nature check?
16.
The answer to that is no. And in fact, it was rather offensive of Yogg to say what they said.
Thank you. And I'm sorry.
You can't move a bunch of trees in a forest. And even if you could, where would you move them to?
I mean, make them grow taller. In turn, they would bring
and lift
the webs
the
up.
Webs up. The webs, that would be a really good idea. You are a level one druid and do not have
one day
any ideas to how to make that happen.
One day. I'm going to continue burn
you
the path.
You continue to cast your cantrip of Firebolt. You don't need to continue to roll. I will assume that's what you're doing. It is only so effective. It slows everything down. Balasar steps forward with his hand axes and proceeds to chop at the webbing as well, but as soon as you get into that area, it becomes difficult because there's fire bolts being cast and burning webs around you. Not only that, but as soon as you enter close to those webs, it becomes difficult terrain for you as well, and you are afraid that if you make a wrong step, you'll get caught up in the webbing and stuck yourself and then have to fight to free yourself. Does anybody else have any slashing weapons?
I have a short sword.
Short sword?
It's piercing.
All of mine are pierce.
You pick that as your primary over that? You probably would have been better off to pick like a nice big weapon to use and wield as well than a couple of rapiers. Rapiers are finesse weapons, so you're going to use your dexterity instead of your strength. So I have no problem with you reworking that a little bit to have some sort of like big meaty sword as a fighter to carry around. Do we have any other slashing weapons or weapons that will allow you to penetrate deeply into the forest? We have a wizard casting Firebolt repeatedly, tiring herself out as she tries to burn away the webbings within the confines of the forest. However, that's a directed attack against single strands. It's not like produce flame, or it's not like scorching hands or anything like that that would allow her to get more of an area of effect. We've got a dragonborn with his acid breath ready to go if need be. And we've got a slashing weapon for a great sword wielding fighter potentially. Does anybody else have a slashing weapon to assist? Because we really need to have at least four of you working hard at clearing this path in order to get through here.
We have torches we can use.
Okay.
In Explorer Pack, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
I'm going to use some of my Firebolt to light a torch, and I'm going to hand it to somebody to help me.
Firebolt will not let you light a torch, but you can easily light a torch with tinder. So somebody pulls out flint, lights a torch, and yes, if you're all working with Firebolt and torches, you can burn away the webs.
On it. Have you got enough torches in yours to share? I've got an explorer's pack as well if you need more.
All of you are hard at work burning away the webs as the caravan slowly makes its way down this dark and gloomy forest path. Can I get perception checks? I'd like to know who notices.
I'm too busy.
The sound of little clacking, and maybe spider-like legs crossing canopies of treetops ahead of you. Did anyone get 18 or higher?
I got 17.
I got 25.
Then it is only Thorin who hears and then sees the two giant spiders descend upon the caravan, and we will roll initiative the next time we get together.
Until next time.
This concludes the first episode Tavern Tales Presents Dungeon in a Box. Find out more about Dungeon in a Box at www.dungeoninabox.com. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. Find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or on their website, www.badbillyband.com, or follow them on Twitter, @BadBillyBand. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or to find us on Twitter @Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.
You don't know what the wall was like.
The wall was so frightening.
The wall.
So,
I have an idea.
I made a terrible decision. Okay, do you have any idea how hard it is to do a low male voice and throw an accent on it?
I can't even do a Swedish accent. I can get some in any kind of tone.
Get some pointers.
I made a terrible decision.
I made a horrible mistake.
You can just let them listen to the podcast and be like, family, this is my fiance.
What's coming into it.
I like cooking.
I had some like really good strong moments, but then there was some pretty
it
epic.
It's trickling off into like German.
I know.
German, Austrian.
The spiders.
Spiders.
So, no, because I worked it in because my flaw is the monstrous enemy we faced in battle still leaves me quivering with fear. So the monstrous thing I fought in battle was spiders.
I secretly think I'm better than everyone else. No, I'm like,
no wonder I didn't like you after high school. Should my discovery come to light, it could bring ruin to the world.
Like this discovery? He's my brother. Oh, wait. Is my brother.
Your dad has got to be evil. Because, like,
it's like Star Wars.
Yeah. Or, like, Voldemort type level bad. Like, oh.
It could make them question their good or badness.
Just like who you fought in the war.
Yeah. Dad is a spider. He loves the spider.
Spiders are obviously underlings.
He led the spiders to our ruin.
Or an elf druid.
Yeah.
Change shapes.
That's true.
Yeah. Ooh, that'd be so lit.
So I killed your dad. They killed our mom.
I'm so not following this.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Dude,
man.
Dad's evil.
Who's my dad? My uncle's actually my dad. Oh, wait, he's a dragonborn. I have to be a half human.
It just wouldn't make any sense.
No.
Just some dude. Just like a.
Just red just a dude.
I was like, Dimple, that's a cute name. For a whore.
Hooler.
Dimple's now sad. She's been ghosted by Findel.
I feel like we should ask where Findel is because I feel like his disappearance.
It's something. Something's up with it.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is yet.
I think he's like kind of going towards. Because he's mentioned a few times now, Dad. Findel Daddy. Daddy Finny.
Who's the head of the caravan? Like, whose idea
Laura?
Is it?
Laura.
So she's ahead of it, but who's, like, I guess, paying for it?
No, she's like, it's all of, so Wagons would pay a little bit for the protection, and she just kind of organizes it all. They're all just going because they're merchants and stuff.
So why is Findelli or whatever?
One of the caravans.
He's going to Greyhaven.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, something's up with him, though. I'm getting a funky feeling.
Well, because when he said that you knocked on the door and he was like, there was no sound.
Yeah, there's no sound. Yeah.
That tells me something.
So you see that airship that's in the little case? I made that.
Very cool.
Yeah. I made that for a D&D game that I run.
Oh, really?
Very
yeah. Cool. Are those D&D things in there?
Yeah, they're little figurines.